I think. That's a good one. So, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for showing up. You knew Jim wasn't going to be here, and you showed up anyway, so thank you for doing that. Well, as Kenny said, I'm David Goldstein, and my wife Jules and I and our son Josh have been coming to the church since about 2008. We took about 2.5 years to go off to New Mexico, and then came back after I retired from the Air Force and moved back to the South Bay, and so we live here. And so, as you know, Jim is in Guatemala, and I'm guessing that Charlie was busy, and Kenny didn't answer the phone when Jim called, and so you're sort of stuck with me, but... It should be fun. It's always an honor to be asked to come do this. So Jim sent us like 25 videos to show, and so I really didn't have to preach at all. We were just going to show all 25, but we narrowed it down just to one video and a couple of photographs. So so Joe is going to play a video from Jim from Guatemala.
How you doing, guys? We wish you were here. We wish you were here. So what's happening? Somebody tell them what's happening.
We're going to church this morning, Spanish speaking only.
Yeah.
Party.
Yeah. With an interpreter.
Yeah. Yes. We can do that. Okay. Go ahead. Oh, we planted trees yesterday.
What kind of trees? Good. Was it cool and breezy?
Super fun, yeah.
It was hot.
It was so hot.
It was hot.
I've never sweated more in my life.
Yep. Who else?
We filled 600 bags to feed people.
600?
602.
What else? Talk to me.
It was something yesterday.
It's going to feed 4 villages.
Yes.
Yeah. And where are the villages? Are they up in the mountains?
Jungle.
Yeah, up in the jungle. Yeah. Mayan community.
And how long will they eat off one of those bags?
One to two weeks.
Yeah, cool. What
and
else?
We're going to build houses tomorrow.
Plural.
Starting tomorrow, we're going to build a house.
And we went to the hospital yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
we have babies and kids.
Yeah. Anybody fall in love with anybody at the hospital?
Yes, Marco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
everyone.
You.
Yeah, everyone.
Sophia. Anthony.
Let's say thank you for sending us on this.
Thank you for sending us on this trip.
We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad. Bye, Mom.
Okay. Bye, Mom. Bay Morning. Cities.
So I think we also have a few photographs here, so we'll just kind of cycle through those. And then there's a lot more content about their trip and what all they've been doing on Instagram. And so Joe is going to kind of show that real quick, the Instagram page. There it is. I don't know if you can see that very well, but if you don't know how to use Instagram, neither do I, talk to Joe. So just kidding. Okay. Well, Mark, I did want to thank you. Where's Mark at? Thank you so much for not including the "Let My Words Be Few" in the music this week. So if you'll see how it goes today, and then maybe next time you'll have to add that one back in. So for those of you who might be new to Bay Cities, Pastor Jim, he's gone. So we're taking a break from our normal series. So we had this super epic series called The Journey with Jesus, about 2.5 years long, where Jim tried to talk us through, you know, how we should walk through life journeying with Jesus. And our most recent series is called The Commands of Jesus, so the COJs. And we're taking a break from those, but both of those are really to help us draw closer to Jesus, right? To be complete in him. And obeying Jesus and obeying his commands is just a small part of it, but it's super important, right? It's super important to obey his commands. If he really was who he says he was, it should be easy for us to obey his commands and to look to him. And so the whole idea for what this church is about is to learn together how to walk with Jesus, right? How to relate to him, how to seek him first, not just when things are hard, but to seek him all the time. And not just to know of him, but to know him, right? To know him personally. And so in this walk, as we walk through life, we want to relate to Jesus. And I will tell you, I have not figured all this out. And, you know, normally I'm sitting right over there with my beautiful wife and, you know, struggling through the same things that you all struggle through, you know, making bad choices and facing the challenges of life. and picking myself up off the floor when I fall down. And I don't know if you've read Brené Brown's book called Daring Greatly, but she talks about being face down in the arena. And that's how I feel a lot of the time, right? Being face down in the arena and picking myself up. And so as I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I just really feel like God was speaking to my heart for my life, for what I need to do. And so I'm going to share all that with you. And so we're gonna step through some verses in Colossians. And it's a New Testament book that the Apostle Paul wrote. It's a letter to the church at Colossae. And he gives us some insights, really, on seeking Jesus. It's really the whole book, four chapters, is about seeking Jesus. So my prayer today is that all of us will walk out of here with just something in our little toolkit to help us to walk closer with Jesus. And I also am praying that we're all not going to just die of heat exhaustion in here, because I know it's hot up here for me. I'm sure it is for you too. But let's start with a word of prayer, please. God, thank you so much for this day and another opportunity to seek you together. We ask that you would guide our time and that your Holy Spirit would fill us today. Think that we'd learn what you would have us to learn. I just pray that you bless this time together, that you'd help us to be able to concentrate and not be distracted. God, I pray that you'd help me to concentrate and not be distracted. May my words today be the words that you would have me to say. I pray that you'd watch over Jim and Sandy and the whole group of folks from our church that are in Guatemala. Just please bless them. Keep them safe and healthy. Strengthen them for the work you have for them. Help them to accomplish all that you've sent them for. And God, I just pray that you would just help them to change lives and for their own lives to be changed in your name. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so opening to the slide, the first slide there. So I went to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it's a great, interesting place. I know there are a little alumni over there. But we had noon meals and morning meals that were mandatory. Everybody had to go at the same time. And you see the photograph there, it was in Mitchell Hall, and all 4,000 cadets would all eat at the same time. And they had these waiters, and they would all come out and bring the food out. And within about 5 minutes, the entire cadet wing would be served. For dinner time, though, they had a buffet. And so we would kind of walk over after sports or whatever, and before homework, before, you know, waiting to the last minute to do homework, usually was what I would do. But we'd walk over there. And one night we were there, so some friends and I, and there was a junior that was with us. I was a senior at the time. And his name was Greg Gio, and his picture is up there. He's a brigadier general now in the Air Force. But we were eating dinner, and all of a sudden he kind of just got up and kind of walked out real quick. And so we kind of looked around. We didn't know what was going on. So instead of going after him like we probably should have done, we finished our meal and got up and left. And it turns out he got a little piece of chicken stuck in his throat, and it was partially blocking his airway. So he could still breathe a little bit, but he knew that he was having some struggles, but he was too embarrassed to ask for any help. So he is about a quarter mile back to our dorms, and so he starts walking back, and he was not being able to breathe at the rail, so he like throws himself on this 3-foot wall, this 3-foot tall wall, to try to do the Heimlich maneuver on himself. And that didn't work, so he was so embarrassed, so he kind of gets in his room and falls on his chair like 10 times. Finally, the little piece of chicken comes out of his mouth, and he was okay. And so, of course, when he told us about it later, we just laughed at him. But, it was kind of a dangerous thing, and of course, every time we see him, we remind him of it. And since he's a general in the Air Force, it's especially funny. But, there's a couple of lessons from this. You know, I think number one is don't eat chicken with your friends whenever you're out. That's not the life lesson. You know, we should never let embarrassment, keep us from asking for help. But the second piece is that this breathing thing that we do, it's hugely important, right? Breathing is important, and you don't really realize how important it is until you can't do it. We don't even think about it because our body just breathes all the time. And so as I was kind of thinking about what I was going to talk about today, there's this idea that breathing can help us be mindful of Jesus. Right? It can help us be mindful of Jesus. We're breathing all the time. And for me, I need things to draw me back to Jesus. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about Colossians today from the Apostle Paul. And he had this incredible opportunity to actually talk with Jesus, right? Jesus talked to him on this road to Damascus. And it changed his life. He was like going to kill Christians, and his whole entire life changed by this one opportunity and this one encounter with Christ. And he was never the same. He spent the rest of his life encouraging people to actually follow the same Jesus that had saved him. And so in his letter to the church at Colossae, he encourages all of us to live godly lives and to understand that Jesus saves us, right? He saves us. Paul, in this book in Colossians, and Pastor Jim in the series that he gives us, he wants all of us to understand that point one there in your notes, that pursuing Jesus in our lives should be paramount. Pursuing Jesus should be paramount. It should be the ultimate goal of our lives. There shouldn't be anything for us more important than pursuing Jesus. You know, Paul dedicated his whole life after this encounter to know Christ and to make him known. That's really what Paul was all about. And through incredible trials in his life, he was shipwrecked, he got beaten, he was stoned. All the things that he faced, he still continued to follow Jesus. And we should too. And really, when I think about this, there was two things that he talks about in the book of Colossians about why. And the first one is that Jesus saves us of our sins, right? He saves us and redeems us. And in Colossians 1:13-14, there in the notes, it says, "For he, God," that's God, "rescued us from the dominion of darkness." He saved us. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. "And he brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So God did that, and in that we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. So through Jesus we're saved from spending an eternity in hell, right? That's a huge part of why we should follow after this Jesus. But there's just so much more than that. In Colossians 2:2-3, he also says, "My goal," this is Paul's goal to everyone, "is to encourage hearts, so they'll be united in love, so that they'll have the full riches of a complete understanding." So there's riches, there's wealth in this understanding of Jesus. "In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge." So Jesus saves us from our sin, and in him is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so those are two reasons why we should pursue him with everything we have. There's many, many more. But why don't we then? Why is it so hard for us to not pursue him like it's the most important thing all the time? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's me that has difficulty pursuing Jesus all the time. My intention is to faithfully walk with him, right? To seek him every single day and to walk faithfully with him. But I definitely fall short of that. And so as I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, there's really two things that led me to talk about breathing. So we're going to talk about breathing in a little bit. But the first thing is that I've mentioned before that I listened to this podcast called The Daily Audio Bible. The Daily Audio Bible. It's by Brian Hardin. Every year he reads through the Bible. He's been doing it for about 10 years now. And he actually reads a different passage every day, and he reads them each day. And then at the end, there's this little prayer time. But he's written a couple of books. He wrote a book called Reframe, and a new book that he's written is called Sneezing Jesus, which I thought was a sort of a strange title when I first heard it, Sneezing Jesus. But as he talks about it, it sounds super interesting, and it actually comes out tomorrow. And I've read the first chapter. They did an early release of the first chapter. And basically, it's an illustrative stories about Jesus. So it's a lot like the journey of Jesus, I think. But the whole idea for this book is that we need to sneeze Jesus to the world, right? We need to infect Jesus to the world, right? I thought that was super, super interesting way of looking at it. He says it's the sneeze heard around the world, which I thought was kind of funny. To be able to sneeze Jesus, we have to be able to breathe him first, right? We have to live it out in our own lives. And to infect the world, we have to be infected ourselves. And so for me, this idea of breathing Jesus, it just sort of hit me when I was listening to him talk about the book. And then a second thing happened is so I have an Apple Watch, which is really good for me because it buzzes me all the time and reminds me of things. One of my favorite things is I always forget to turn the ringer on with my phone, and so it's be in my pocket or somewhere else, and Jules will call me and it will just shake, and I'll go, "Oh, I forgot to turn my ringer off." And so it reminds me of all kinds of things. But it has this app called a mindfulness app. And so excuse me. So mindfulness, according to Google, is a mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations used as a therapeutic technique. And so this app will just spring up from time to time randomly, and it will say just what you see on the screen there. It'll say breathe. And the whole idea is you just kind of take a moment and just kind of close your eyes and take some deep breaths and just kind of focus in. And it's been great at work because a few things that happened to me, I'll be sitting in a meeting and I can feel like, I don't know if it's sensing my blood pressure or what, but my blood pressure is starting to go up a little bit, and I'll be, and then it will just say breathe, and I'll just go, oh, just, right? So it's a great little app. And so in thinking about that that breathing, you know, I've been trying to do that, to stop and breathe and be mindful of Jesus, right? To think about him. And so I was talking to one of Julianne's friends a couple weeks ago, and her name is Michelle, and we met her when we went to Rolling Hills Covenant back when we first lived in California back around 2000. And Julianne's been friends with her for many years. She's a prayer warrior. She's amazing. And I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, you know, I pray for you, and I'm just wondering how are things at work? Is it a difficult job? Is that a hard job? And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is a hard job. This is a job where it's the hardest job I've ever had. And so she said, well, you know, I feel like God's been telling me that sometimes you just need to just stop and just take a breath and breathe. And when she said that, I just knew that this was something that God was wanting me to do, to focus on breathing. And it's really good for me because I need things that will pull me back to God, because I think I've mentioned before I'm ADD. And so you might notice that in my notes when I'm like, I'll go off on a rabbit trail from time to time. I don't think Jim is ADD at all. He's not ADD one bit. Maybe that's why we get along so well. But I view it as a great blessing in my life. And maybe my family not so much views it as a blessing, but I view it as a great blessing because it helps me really dial in and focus on things. And there's something that I really am, sparks my interest. It's really easy for me to just dial in. And when there's a deadline coming up, I'm your guy, because for whatever reason, deadlines help my ADD just focus, right? So, you know, yesterday when I was preparing and I didn't have all the work done on my sermon, I could focus really well on preparing for the message. So it can be a really good thing, but it can also be a challenge. And one time when I was in Houston, we lived in Houston, and I was flying somewhere, I don't remember where, and I was so dialed into my book that I was reading, I was sitting in front of the gate my plane was leaving from. And I don't even remember what the book was, but it must have been awesome, because the flight left, you know, people, they announced everything, 100 people walked right by me, and I was sitting there reading my book, and just the world was around. So I need these things to kind of pull me out of whatever it is, right? And so, I don't think I'm going to be able to retrain my 50-year-old brain, and so I need some hacks. I need some brain ADD hacks. That'd be a good book, probably. Some hacks to draw me back to Jesus. Because what I really want, for me, what I really want is for point two in your notes there, for connecting with Jesus to be as natural as breathing, right? To be as natural and often as I breathe. That's really my goal. That's really what I want. Breathing is one of the probably million miracles that I marvel at, that God created. He's created the heavens and the earth. And we see in Colossians 1, 16 to 17 there in your notes, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, and he holds all things together. And I love that. He holds all things together. All those molecules, all that, you know, all the amazing things, he holds all of this together. And not only did he create it all, he created all of us and everything. He gives us our very breath, right? He gives us the very breath. In Acts 17:25, there in the notes, it says, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So breathing to me is just amazing. When you start really think about it, you know, you've heard me speak a few times before here, and I tend to geek out on little things. I know Jen reminds me of geeking out on eggs. I talked a lot about, you know, the miracle of an egg, and I think I talked about the sun a little bit one time. But whatever it is, nature, these are things that help my ADD focus, all the, you know, especially stuff about space. But for me, this idea of breathing is just amazing. It's so simple. It's just an easy thing, but it's so profound. You know, you'll probably take about 900 to 1,000 breaths just during this service. In your life, if you live to be 80 years old, you'll probably take about 675 million breaths. Unless you work out a lot, then you probably take more. But you know, air—the air that we breathe—is mostly nitrogen, right? It's like 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen here at sea level. If you go up to Pikes Peak, there's not actually a less percentage of air. It just feels like there's less because there's less pressure, right? So it seems like there's only 12% of air in when you're breathing. And if you're up at Mount Everest, it's only like 6%. And so that's why people need oxygen when they get up on Mount Everest. So from biology class, so the next slide there, Joe. So we're going to have a little biology lesson here on breathing. Thank you. I actually brought one, so I can use mine. There's actually a fan back there that I will bring up for the next service for sure. So when you breathe, you inhale, right? Your diaphragm contracts and moves upward, and then the space increases in your chest, which lowers the pressure, which draws the air in through your mouth and lungs down into your bronchial tubes that go into these little air sacs called alveoli. And there's very thin walls there. And so the oxygen then permeates through those walls and goes into the bloodstream. So the oxygen goes in, and then carbon dioxide comes out. And then you are able to breathe that out. So then that oxygen, it travels in, you know, through those capillaries into the pulmonary vein, and then gets pumped to your body, and then it gets distributed. The oxygen molecules get distributed out into your body, and then what happens? Your body has to use that oxygen because you can't use the fuel that you have, the glucose, in your body without the oxygen. It basically burns the oxygen. And so you burn the glucose and the oxygen, which produces energy for you, and water are the byproducts, and carbon dioxide. So then the carbon dioxide gets back in the blood, miraculously, gets back in the blood, goes back up to your lungs, is pulled out, and then you breathe the carbon dioxide out. It's a miracle that will happen 1,000 times just while you sitting here today. And so with things like that, I marvel at the things that God has done. I mean, this simple little thing that we do every single day of breathing. And I want to make, for me, that's something that I'm gonna think about Jesus and thank him every single time I do it. We take it for granted and until you can't get that air, right? When you can't get that air in, that's when you're like worried about breathing. Julianne and our son Joshua got whooping cough this last year, just a few months ago. And I don't know how many of you have ever seen or heard someone with whooping cough. I thought whooping cough, the whooping was the sound of the cough, but it's actually not. And that's the scary part. The scary part is you cough so much and the bacteria does this damage to your throat where you can't get air back in. And so the whooping is actually a wheezing sound of people trying to catch their breath when they're coughing. And it was super scary several times, both Jules and Josh, where they're like, they can't get air in. And so it was super scary. You take it for granted until you can't get it. So I'm trying not to take it for granted. I'm trying not to take this breathing for granted and let it draw me right back to Jesus. Paul encourages us in Colossians 3, 1 to 2 there in the notes, to set our hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For me, to set my mind on things above, I need something to draw me back. And breathing is one of those things that can help me do that. He also says in Colossians 3:15, to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And not just to be around us from time to time, right? Not just to enjoy his peace from time to time when we come to church or when we hear a good song or when we see a beautiful sunset, but to let it rule in our hearts. right? To have it exercise ultimate authority over our lives. That's the peace of Christ that we want. And we can do that if we'll just look to him and draw on him. So to help me set my mind and my heart on things above, I'm using breathing to do that. So whenever my watch reminds me, which is pretty frequently, or whenever I catch myself, you know, just sitting there and take a breath, then I'm thinking about all these miracles that God does, right? He's provided this oxygen in the perfect ratio with nitrogen, right? It's the perfect ratio for us. If there was more oxygen, then things would catch on fire much more than they do, right? If there was less oxygen, it would be much harder for us to breathe. He holds those oxygen molecules together, right? We saw that. He holds those things together. And he created this amazingly complex respiratory system that just makes it seem effortlessly that we can breathe. And he's done all that for us. And how the oxygen gets into our blood and how it burns the fuel and the carbon dioxide comes out, to me, all that is just this great miracle that that I'm gonna use to stay connected to Jesus. But to do that, I also want to, and, you know, sort of keeping with this breathing thing, point three in your notes there is to inhale the Word of God, to inhale it, to let the Word of Christ, as it says in the text there in Colossians 3:16, to dwell among us richly, right? To let his Word be something that is around us all the time, something that we look at and read, that we hide in our heart, as it says in Psalm 119, 9 to 11 there, that King David says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so there are a lot of ways that we can all get God's word into our lives. As I mentioned, the Daily Audio Bible, that's a way that I love to do it, to listen to it. Pastor Jim has a journal that he created called the Self-Feeder. If you've not seen that, it's a great tool. You read a chapter a day, basically, and find one verse to write about. It's a great way to do that. There's actually this thing, and most of you know what this is, but some of the youngsters probably don't know what this is. Actually a book with pages. When I showed this to Joe in the back, he goes, I have that on my phone. Can you print that out into one of those? So you can actually pick up a real, no kidding, Bible. There's a great app that I use called You the Version Bible app that I love. You can highlight things. It has little reading plans in there. There's a great reading plan to read through the Psalms and Proverbs in a month, and I really like those. Lots of ways to get God's word, but we also want to move it from our mind to our heart, right? We want to bring that scripture in and have it be part of us. And so just reading it isn't enough to me. We've got to meditate on it and think about it and memorize it. So find those scriptures for you that are the ones that are the most meaningful. You know, grab some of those ones from Colossians that remind you of Jesus and to draw you back. There are many, many. There's great apps that help you memorize scripture. There's one called Scripture Typer that I like, that you kind of type the scripture out on your phone and to help you memorize it. There's another one called Quizlet that actually my son Joshua showed me. Believe it or not, he was actually studying on this app called Quizlet, and you can put the verses on there and it will read it to you. It'll actually read you the verses as you click through on your phone. It's just a great way to do it. Going to camp when I was a kid, there was a camp in Colorado that we went to called Camp Idrahaji. And that stands for I'd Rather Have Jesus, which was an awesome camp. My uncle was the director of the camp, and there was a teepee camp, and we'd sleep in teepees and never take a shower all week. It was awesome. my mom didn't think it was so awesome, but I come home and she's like, did you not wear any of your clothes? Did you like wear one pair? I'm like, yeah, it was teepee camp. But we'd play games, and we'd have a contest between two sides with colors, and we'd memorize scripture for points for our team. And those scriptures that I memorized, I still know them. And at the time, it was a game. But wow, it's just so amazing to have these scriptures now that I've memorized. So Joe, the next slide there. So I'm going to read you a little bit from Captain James Ray. He was a prisoner of war in Vietnam in the Hanoi Hilton. And he wrote a memoir called The Secret of Our Survival. And he recounts how some clandestine conversations in the POW camp saved his life. One day he was asked by one of the other prisoners, secretly, do you know any Bible verses? And he says, well, the Lord's Prayer I answered. Everyone knows that, which I think is funny. How about the 23rd Psalm? And he says, only a little. So he says, I began whispering it. He'd repeat each line after me. A little later, he whispered the entire psalm back to me. Other prisoners joined in, sharing verses they knew. Through these contacts, a fellowship grew among us. I didn't feel so alone anymore. Our common denominators were the Bible and Jesus. It wasn't about being an American or being a pilot or being in the Air Force. Their common denominator was the Bible and Jesus. And we were able to share and write down a great deal of scriptures. For by now, it's become a vital to our daily existence. Often racked with dysentery, weakened by the diet of rice and thin cabbage and pumpkin soup, our physical bodies had shrunk within the prison walls. We spent 20 hours a day locked in cells, and those Bible verses became rays of light, a constant assurances of God's love. He later says that the guards wouldn't let him talk, and so they'd have to actually tap out with Morse code the scriptures to each other. And then they would, when someone new would come and they would know more scripture, they would all get excited and they would etch them into the ground with broken pieces of tile. He said that one time, one of his friends tapped out, "My help cometh from the Lord." The psalm assured us, and with that assurance came his presence, soothing us, telling us not to fear. From what we learned, from that we learned the most important lesson, and this is it. Bible verses on paper aren't one iota as useful as scripture burned into your mind and heart where you can draw on them for guidance and comfort, right? So burning it into our minds is the way to really have it give us the comfort we need. You never know when that phone's not going to work or not going to be able to have that Bible with us. Now, most of us won't face what POWs faced, but having those scriptures ready and in our minds and hearts certainly will be a blessing to us. So Paul tells us to pursue Jesus, to set our minds and hearts on things above, to let Jesus' peace rule, and to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And so for the second part of my sort of breathing theme, in point four there in your notes, we need to exhale prayer, engagement, and salt. Prayer, engagement, and salt. And I know that doesn't fit well together, but it's the best I could do. So for this exhale piece, the prayer one is so important. You know, we've in our Commands of Jesus series, we've had 23 of the commands of Jesus. Three of them have been on prayer. And it must have been super important to Jesus because he talked a lot about it. Paul tells us in Colossians 4:2 that we're to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Not just praying from time to time, but to actually be devoted to it. In the COJ number 17 was the one where we were supposed to be persistent with God. And the scripture for that one was Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who receives, who asks, receives. And those who seek, find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So this prayer is really connecting with God, right? It's about connecting with God. It's about talking to God. Now, we're not always going to get every prayer answered the way that we want it answered. They'll all be answered, maybe yes or no, but he'll answer every single one of them. And it's about connecting to God. It's about being in his presence. And we can also listen during that time, right? To listen to what God has to say. Prayer doesn't need to just be a one-way conversation with God. It can be a time where we focus in and listen to God. Now, if you start hearing the audible voice of God, definitely let me know. I've never heard the audible voice of God, and so maybe some of you have. I've never heard that. But you can tell when God is talking to you. You know when his spirit is nudging you to do something. Joe, the next slide there. So there's these Arctic foxes that are just amazing. I love this photograph. These foxes have incredible hearing, and they can actually tune their ears to hear what's going on under the snow. And so they'll sit there, and I saw a video once where this fox is just sitting there and his ears are tuning, and then they jump up and they plunge down in and they'll come up with a mouse or a lemming or something right out from the snow because they tune their ears. And we need to do that too. We need to tune in to listen to God. And it is so easy just to tell God everything that we want to tell him. And it's hard, it's super hard for me to quiet my mind and to just listen to what God has to say. Paul encourages us to do that and to do everything that we do for the glory of God. And if we're going to engage the world, we need to have Jesus with us to do that. Colossians 3:17 there says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father." Right? So we need to engage. We need to do something. There is a calendar on the wall right back over there with plenty of opportunities to engage. You know, it might not be taking a group of kids, which is super brave of Jim, a group of kids to Guatemala. It might not be that, but maybe it's just helping pick up chairs after church. It doesn't matter if you're doing it for God, right? If you're doing it for his glory and to give him the benefit of it. We have opportunities to engage all over the place, and there are people around us that we can engage too. The encouragement here really is to think about everything that you do for God's glory. It's counterintuitive to what we do. Everything. If we're doing everything for his glory, then we're going to be connected to him. Jules was telling me yesterday, we were on a walk, and she was telling me about one of her friends who's a fitness trainer that we knew back in New Mexico, and she's a competitor also, and so she's done all these competitions, and Julianne was telling me that she typically would focus on herself. It was all about her and winning. That was what it was. But in the last couple of months, she's really changed her focus to, this is going to be something I'm going to do for the glory of God. So she completely changed her perspective on something for her to something, I'm going to do this for God, and whatever the results, I'm going to engage with people and try to get his word out however I can, and to give him the glory. And part of this engagement is we have to actually talk to people, right? We actually, you know, the teenagers don't know this as well as us adults do, but you actually have to talk to people and engage. You can't just text them. We were listening to a thing on millennials yesterday. It was so funny. The guy was saying that he was annoyed when someone left a voicemail on him because they didn't text him first to ask if they could call him. And so that's the millennial kind of thing. I thought that was super funny. But we need to, as Paul says in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, we need to be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity to let our conversations always be flavored with salt, right? To be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we know how to answer. So how do we do that? How do we make the most of every single opportunity we have, people? That seems daunting to me. Every single opportunity to make the most of every opportunity. And I don't really do it very well. I've been with Jim sometimes out and about, you know, going to get coffee or whatever, and he's amazing at it. He engages almost everyone, and he always brings salt into the conversation. You know, salt was very valuable in the first century. It was used for preserving food, for healing. It was used obviously for enhancing the flavor of food. But are our words that way? Are our words preserving and healing? Are they enhancing to others? Do we take every opportunity that we have to bring something positive into their lives, to bring salt, to have our words with grace and salt? Are they words of grace and mercy and not judgment? Are they gratitude, words of gratitude and not complaints? Words of kindness, not bitterness or anger? Words that build up and not tear down? And worlds that plant spiritual seeds in their lives instead of worldly seeds? And are our words pointing people to Jesus or something else? And he wants us to take every opportunity to have our words seasoned with salt. So today, some of the ideas that I presented are things that I'm working on for me to draw closer to Jesus and to stay connected to him, to know him rather than just to know of him. I talked about making my pursuit of Jesus paramount in my own life, which is a goal I have. Staying connected by thinking of him each time I breathe, and this amazing thing that we do of breathing. To read and listen and memorize and meditate on God's scriptures, and to pray and engage others around us, and to bring our words seasoned with salt. But you need to, and this is point five in the text, find what works for you. Right, these are things that I found that I'm working on, trying to work for me, but you need to find things that work for you. Colossians 3:23 there says, whatever you do, and work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And that's Colossians 3:23. If you're like me, sometimes you think that maybe your job isn't as spiritually satisfying as it could be. You know, not all of us can be a pastor of a church, or Kenny works at the LA Rescue Mission, mission work there. Ben Bruno watches over our kids and takes our kids. That he deserves a medal for spending all that time with teenagers these days. But we can't all have a job that's directly in ministry, but we can all work as unto God. And this is something I'm really, really trying to work on hard, is calling on God at work, really working as unto him in everything that I do, to stay connected throughout my day at work, right? To engage people and to take and make the most of every opportunity, even at work. So I want to trust him with all the results of what happens at work, right? It's easy to try to think, there's this bifurcation between what I do at work and my spiritual life of things. God wants all that blended together. He wants us to stay with him and be connected to him all through the day, and to consciously connect with him so that we're working as unto him, not to ourselves. So some of these ideas are practical for me. I don't know if they're practical for you. I think you ought to try to figure out some ideas for yourself of how to stay connected. Maybe it's much easier for you than it is for me. To help live this way, to breathe in Jesus every moment of the day, to love him and to demonstrate that love all day. He's calling us to himself, right? He's calling us to closeness. He wants a relationship with every single one of us. He delights when we pursue him, right? He loves us so much. He wants us to reach out to him. He wants us to connect to him. I'm sure he's sitting there just waiting for me at work sometimes. You know, I tend to, at work, and this is one of the things I love about this breathing idea, is, you know, I have my little list. I'll go through and I'll journal my prayers. I'll read my Bible. I'll listen to the daily audio Bible. And then instead of breathing Jesus throughout the day, I'll leave him throughout the day, right? I'll do my quiet time, and then it's just like there's this disconnection the rest of the day, and I don't want that to happen for me anymore. So figure out what works for you, and definitely pray about things that you can do. You know, God says in James 4:8, he says, draw near to God and I'll draw near to you. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek with all of your heart. So let's do just that. Are you with me? Okay, all right. So let's close in prayer. Thank you. God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth that we read in it. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Thank you that he and you long for us to stay connected to you, to pursue you, and to make it paramount in our lives to seek you and to breathe you all day long. God, we pray that you'd just help us to stay connected to you at work, at home, that we would engage others, and that we would bring salt and grace into their lives. We thank you for this church. Please accomplish your work in our hearts, in this church and in the South Bay, and bless and watch over Pastor Jim and Sandy. Keep them safe and all these kids, and may your work be accomplished, and may we breathe you every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. Every breath you take.